Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord here tonight? I'll tell you what, I almost don't want to sit down. Obviously, I wasn't planning on sitting down, but having you to sit down, I just feel, man, God's presence is strong in this place, and that means He's got something good for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be with church family. Praise the Lord. Well, you can go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles tonight. Go over to John chapter 1, and tonight I'm going to call this message, God Will Uphold You. God will uphold you. And tonight I'm going to be starting maybe a short series on faith and the Word of God. And so we're kind of concluding over the last several weeks since the beginning of the new year. I've been teaching on being in the will of God. And I'm not going to go through all the review, right? Amen. If you need those messages, they're on our website or on YouTube. You can archive those and check them out. But last week, I did teach a message called Rebellion, Rejoicing, and Rest. And so we took a look at some of those things with Israel back there in Exodus chapter 32 and 33. Remember, Moses was dealing with those stubborn Israelites. Remember that? And remember that their rebellion, it came from a place of impatience. They felt like God wasn't moving fast enough for them. They believed like things weren't happening in their lives like it should. And so what they did is that they resorted to other things. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to remember that rebellion can come from impatience. Sometimes, remember, they thought Moses was delayed coming down off that mountain, but God said, why are they rebelling so quickly? And remember, they replaced Moses and they replaced the plan of God with that golden calf. Remember that? Folks, if we're not careful, we will get impatient waiting for the promises of God. And if we're not careful, we will let hardships make us bitter and start, you know, pulling things into our lives, start doing things that God never gave us to do, right? We've got to make sure that we follow His will. And then we talked about, you know, rejoicing. And remember what it said over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, talking about those Jews in the days of Moses. Remember, he said that they should have stayed in their confidence and rejoicing all the way to the end. Folks, rejoicing will always bring the presence of God back into our lives. If the presence of God has gotten low in your life, start rejoicing with Him. Start praising Him. Start worshiping Him privately. Folks, I've just been saying this over the last, you know, several weeks, you know, several months even. We need to go before God, bow our knees, get on the ground before Him, and submit our will before Him. Amen. Not our will be done, but His will be done. We need to worship Him in that place. Jesus said, go into that secret place, close the door behind you so that the Lord can reward you openly. Amen. Praise God. And so we talked about this. In Israel, remember, the Bible said that they were very stiff-necked, stubborn, and resistant to the plan of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Remember, and we kind of concluded last week over there in Hebrews chapter 4, it says they had the good news preached to them just like we have had the good news preached to them. See, the good news preached to Israel in the days of Moses was deliverance out of Egypt. Okay, we've received the gospel that preaches deliverance out of the hands of Satan, right? And so we both have received good news, except remember what it said about the Israelites? It said that it did not profit them because they did not mix faith in the word that they were being taught. Folks, and we talked about mixing faith. And how do we mix faith? We mix faith with our words. And we saw Proverbs 18:21. It says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof, right? Proverbs 13:3 says, he that guards his mouth or his words guards his life, but he that opens wide his lips will have destruction. And so we saw that, you know, in the word. And we saw that mixing faith is speaking words of faith. Amen. And so that's kind of where we left off. And now we're just kind of transitioning now into start talking a little bit deeper in how we walk a life of faith. Amen. Go to John chapter 1. We're going to start right there in verse 1. Have you found the Gospel of John? All right. 3 people have found it. Wonderful. So we are ready to go. We're just going to start right there in verse 1. Let's read the first 5 verses. And then we'll go back and take a look at this. I'll tell you what, These verses right here tell us a lot. Tell us a lot. I love John, the Apostle John. He's a word guy. When you read the Gospel of John, and then the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's always talking about the significance of the word. Always talking about the significance of the word. And then he starts his gospel this way. In the beginning, boy, this sounds a lot like the book of Genesis, doesn't it? If Genesis being the first book of the Old Testament, it would make a lot of sense if the Gospel of John was the first book of the New Testament. It starts very similar. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God, or we could say it this way, is God. The Word isn't just God's Word, it is God. He likens His Word in Himself. He and His Word are one. In verse 2, he says, the same was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. We're in verse 3, praise the Lord. All things were made by Him. Now notice all of a sudden, Him, the Word, has become a Him, right? It says, and without Him, the Word, was not anything made that was made. In Him, or in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Tonight we're going to talk about God will uphold you, and we're going to talk about how God is going to uphold you. Amen. Go back up there to verse 1. Let's talk about the first thing that we're going to speak about here tonight. How is God going to uphold you? Folks, I'm here to tell you, God takes no pleasure in your failure. God takes no pleasure in our calamities. God takes no pleasure in, seeing the enemy, gain any ground over us. How many of you know God wants to uphold us? He wants to uplift us. Amen. He wants to cause us to walk in victory. Praise the Lord. He takes no pleasure in seeing us defeated. Remember over there, where is that? Is that Psalm chapter 2? Remember when David said that? He said, Lord, what glory do you get if my enemies kill me? Remember when he said that? He said, what victory is it for you, Lord, if I'm killed and placed in the grave? Remember that? See, David was tapping into God's, desire for him. David's saying, Lord, if I'm defeated on this field of battle, you will get no glory for it. I'll tell you what, if our enemy takes us out and ruins our life and pulls us away from the plan of God, God loses the glory, and he doesn't want to lose that glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go back up there to verse 1. Let's get into this. In verse 1, we see some truth right here. He says, in the beginning was the Word. What does it mean, in the beginning? Does that mean that God had a beginning? No. That means, that's the Bible way of saying that the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God always was. The Word of God always will be. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It is eternal in every sense. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just going to take some look at some truth here, and then we're going to dig in here. I want to, the first little bit here, I want to just build up the significance of God's Word and, get us excited about God's Word. Realize what it is, how important it is in our life. And the first thing we want to talk about here tonight about how God will uphold us is to receive and return the Word of God. So number one, we're going to talk about here tonight how God will uphold you by receiving God's Word and returning God's Word. There's a process. God is going to teach us about it here in His Bible, and we're going to get a hold of this. Amen. The Word is eternal. It always was, always will be. Amen. The Word was always with God. The Word will always be with God. The Word is God and always will be God. Amen. So time with the Scripture is time with God. The revelation of God's Word is a revelation of He Himself. We can never, never, never let go of that. Amen. Go down there to verse 3. It says, all things were made by Him. Or you could say it this way, all things were made by the Word. And without the Word, not anything made that was made. Why does the Scripture tell us that? That tells us that God is not going to do anything ever apart from His Word. Nothing that, you know, if there's anything that we're believing for, anything that God is going to do in our lives, guess how he's going to do it? Through his word. He's not going to make anything outside of his word. Notice he can't build anything in our lives. He can't do anything in our lives without the word of God. Amen. No matter how much we sing, no matter, you know, how much we serve, no matter how much we give, right? He cannot do anything unless his word is given preeminence. God doesn't make anything without his word creating it. Are you here? Amen. Just kind of building some truth here before we go. Praise the Lord. And now look at verse 4. It says, in him the word was life, and the life was the light of men. So notice what is in the word. Life is in the word. I love that. It literally means, it's the Greek word that means the life of God. It means all that God is, all that God possesses, is in his word. The word contains life because God himself is life. When the Bible says that the word is life, get a hold of this, everybody. Are you ready? That means that the word of God does not die. The word of God does not fail. The word of God does not wither. The word of God does not grow old. It does not grow weak. You cannot injure it. You cannot kill it. You cannot oppress it. You cannot depress it. You cannot suppress it. You cannot deflate it. You cannot make it sad. You cannot make it depressed. Amen. God's word is life. It is unbeatable. It is undefeated. It cannot be crushed. It cannot be killed. It cannot be hurt. It cannot be sad. It cannot grow dark. It can't go away. You cannot get rid of it. In this word is life. It is God. You cannot crush God's word any more than you could crush God himself. Because God and himself, they are the word. Amen. He is the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't derail it. You can't confuse it. You can't kick it aside. You can't weaken it. You can't dilute it. Are you here? The word of God creates because it's life. It creates, it grows, it feeds, it nourishes, it multiplies, it overcomes, it cannot lose, it can only win. The word is life. It only produces life and growth and vitality and strength. I'll tell you what, you'll start looking at your Bible a whole different way. Amen. It creates, it grows, it multiplies. And notice this in verse 4. That life of God is the light of men. The word men there is not referring to males. It's not a word that's talking about a gender. It's talking about all people. All right? So you could say it this way. In the word is complete life that cannot be killed, cannot be injured, cannot grow weak, cannot grow dark, cannot be oppressed, cannot be depressed, cannot be suppressed. In the word is this kind of life, and that life is for the light of every person on this earth. God, now we can start putting together this passage. In the beginning was the word of God. That word has perfect life in it, and God made the life that's in that word to illuminate and to live inside every man, woman, and child that will call upon Jesus, their Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad that you've been made a container or a carrier for the life of God? How is the life of God going to get into your life and make it so you cannot be, you know, taken out by the enemy, suppressed and depressed and oppressed? Because the word is going to illuminate your spirit. It's going to live in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The word contains life, and God made that life to live inside people of faith. Praise the Lord. That's why I get excited about the word. That's why we focus on the word of God. Amen. So we see in the beginning, this great life that created everything that was made to live in you. God's creative power lives in you. God's creative life lives in you. That eternal being and blessing of God lives on the inside of you. It is your light. Amen. Let me just, hey, brother, can you help me out back there? We're just going to go through some scriptures. I know I've got a lot of verses for you to type out here tonight. Can you bring up John 6:63 just for the sake of time? I'll just show you some scriptures about what the Bible says about the Word. Here is Jesus's words. He says, the Word of God, it is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. All right? Right? Or you could say it this way. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words. Everyone say the words. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and life. Glory to God. There it is again. Jesus said, these words are life, you know, to every single one of us. That life that is eternal, undefeated, that created the heavens and the earth, it is for us. Can you bring up Hebrews 4:12? We can see this again. What does the Word of God do? Praise the Lord. Can you just bring this up? It says, for the Word of God is quick. Now, that's the King James. How many of you know what the word quick means here? Does anyone remember what the word quick means? It means alive. If you study, you know, a more modern translation, it'll say the Word of God is alive and powerful. Do you believe that the Word of God is alive? Well, we have to believe that because Jesus is the Word. Amen. See, there's the Amplified. It says God, the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power. Don't you love that? Amen. Why don't we'll just read the rest of it because it's so good. Making it active, operative, energizing and effective. That is absolutely what the Word should do in us. Energize us, make us effective. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the immortal spirit and of the joints and the marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. The Word of God is exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our hearts. Ooh, praise the Lord. So the Word is alive. Do you believe it here tonight? Amen. How about Proverbs 4:22? This is talking about the words of God. You hear me speak this all the time. Amen. For they, the words of God, are what? Life. They're life to who? Those that find them. And what else are they? Health to all of our flesh. So what? I mean, that makes sense. Health has to be included in life, right? If it's going to produce life, it's going to produce health. It's going to produce other things like joy and strength and clarity and ability. Amen. Do you believe God's Word's alive? Yeah, God's Word created everything that was ever made. God's Word is going to create anything that is yet to be made in your life. Amen. God's Word is all-encompassing. It's not just what's with God. It is God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Go back to John 1 and let's go to verse 5. I haven't even made my point yet. I'm just hyping you for the point. Hopefully putting a little hunger in you for God's Word. See, we're talking about receiving and returning the Word. This is how God's going to uphold you. I haven't even got to the point yet. Verse 5, notice it says this. So that light that was in, you know, that life is the light of men. That life that's on the inside of us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right. Where is that light shining from? It's the light of men. It's on the inside of us. This is what God is doing with us every single day. He says he wants you to shine. Isn't that awesome? God says, I want you to shine. I want you to be bright. I want you to be full of this life. Hallelujah. But you got to know some things. This is what we've got to know and we've got to understand. Notice this. It says, and the darkness comprehends it not. Wow. So this light is operating through the people that the light resides in. Do you believe the light resides in you? Maybe six of you. Do you believe that the light resides in you? Yes, absolutely. We better get excited about it, right? So it resides, it shines through the people that it resides in. And notice the scripture says, and darkness cannot understand what's in you. I like that. That word comprehend, it's actually the word apprehend. In the Greek, the word is apprehend. You could say it this way, and the darkness cannot apprehend you. The word darkness, it means evil. It means destruction, right? You could call it the plans of the enemy. How many know the enemy is in darkness? The Bible says we are not children of the darkness. We are children of the day, the Bible says. We're children of the light. Amen. And it says this, and the darkness cannot apprehend you. Or you could say it this way, because that light that is in you, the darkness cannot catch you. It cannot overwhelm you. It cannot destroy you. It cannot lay hold of you. It cannot overcome you. Or you could say it this way, darkness cannot win in your life. I like that. Amen. Darkness cannot win over the light that is on the inside of you and I. How did it get there? Through the Word. Through the Word. The Bible says when you were born again by the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God. Amen. And so that light is on the inside of you. Glory to God. And so that's awesome. I love that verse because that light that is shining on the inside of you and me, it is undefeated. It cannot be crushed. It cannot be oppressed. It cannot be depressed. It cannot be suppressed. Darkness, the devil, the enemy, destruction cannot get a hold of what's on the inside of you and I. Boy, it sure is good to be a born again Christian here tonight, isn't it? Isn't it good to have the light living on the inside? The Word living on the inside, God made you to be a carrier of His Word. Amen. So this Word is going to uphold you. Don't you believe that? But go down to verse 10, and now things are going to start changing in this passage. I think verses 10 and 11 are just amazing to me. Because remember, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. Everything that was made by the Word, Jesus Christ. Everything that was any bit of substance, matter, space. Oh, we're going to maybe talk about a few of those things. All right, look at verse 10. It's talking about the Word still. It says, He, Jesus, the Word, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Jesus came to the very planet that He Himself created, and the world knew Him not. Just think of those people that were on the earth and in that area in those days. They saw the Creator. They walked with the very one that thought up oceans and everything in it. The one that designed mountains. The one that thought of the sun and the moon and the stars and all these things that we're still figuring out today. Here's the one that made the very ground that He's walking on. The Creator is amongst them. And it said nobody knew Him. But see, they should have at least had a thought about it. They saw Him raise the dead, heal the sick. You know, they saw these miracles. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. Maybe they should have maybe started thinking, maybe this is actually the one that the Scripture foretold about. See, Jesus did expect them to know who He was when He showed up. But notice, they didn't know Him. The world, He came to the world that He Himself created, and the world did not know Him. And look at this, it gets even more specific in verse 11. It says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Everyone say received. So you could say it this way, the Word showed up over there in Israel, but they did not receive the Word. See, the whole passage here that we're talking about here in John chapter 1 is about people receiving the Word so the light will get on the inside of people, amen, shine in a dark place so the darkness cannot get a hold of it, amen. Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. Here's what we need to know before I make this point. Mankind without the Word is still stuck in darkness. Anytime anybody is without the Word, they're in darkness. If we who were once in the light start to drift from the Word, we start to drift towards darkness. You cannot be in the Word and in the darkness at the same time. You're either in the Word or you're in the darkness or sliding that way. Folks, let's not slide towards darkness. But notice His own would not receive Him. And so those people that He's talking about in verse 11 decided to stay in darkness rather than receive the light of men. which is the Word of God. Are you here tonight? Folks, I know we could look at them and we all say, how would they do that? I just can't believe that they wouldn't receive the Word. But folks, Christians are doing the same thing day in and day out. We've all been guilty of it. And sometimes we just don't even realize we're doing it. All right? He came to his own and his own received them not. People that fail to receive the Word of God will remain in darkness. Oh, boy. All right. That means that it will be subject to darkness, subject to evil, subject to destruction, subject to oppression. Is everybody listening here tonight? Right? Mankind without the Word is helpless and powerless to stop darkness. You wonder why the world is in such a mess? Because the world without Jesus Christ is powerless to stop anything evil. Only through the Word can darkness be stopped. Only through the Word can darkness be held off and pushed back. Oh boy, mankind is helpless. Without the Word, man is without help. Man is hopeless, powerless, defenseless, like a ship that's dead in the water without the Word. If we allow the Word to move out of our lives, I'll tell you what, we are helpless, hopeless, and defenseless, or dead in the water. Don't be dead in the water. Say, well, Pastor, I've received the Word of God for salvation. Let's talk about that. In verse 11, notice this. It says, he came to his own, and the Lord showed up for what reason? He showed up to those people so that they would receive him. But notice, they did not receive him. Notice the Word is supposed to be received. Everyone say received. See, we're not just supposed to read the Word. We're supposed to receive the Word. There's a difference. A lot of Christians have read the Bible, but not everybody receives God's Word. There's a big difference. And tonight I'm talking about how God is going to uphold us, that we've got to receive and return the Word of God. Amen. The Word is supposed to be received. The word received here, it means to take unto yourself. Or literally, I like this definition, to join yourself to it as a companion. I like that. A companion. The word received here, it also means never to reject, or it means to hold on to it. I like that. The Word is supposed to be our companion. The Word is supposed to be taken unto ourselves. We are never to reject it. We are to hold on to it. Boy, doesn't that almost sound like what a minister might say at a wedding? Doesn't it sound very similar to that? That you're supposed to have and to hold, right, as a companion in life? Do you know that many scriptures do talk about the Lord being absolutely, the scripture says, Israel, behold Israel, your husband. Several references talk about a relationship, a covenant relationship with the Lord as it being a marriage. Folks, I'll tell you what, we don't just read the Bible. We receive it. We take it to ourselves. We hold it. It is precious. Never to reject it. Never to, you wouldn't want to hurt this. You don't want to be without it. Amen. You don't want to be disloyal to it. Praise the Lord. The Word is supposed to be received. Well, Christians say, well, I've received the Word of God for salvation. But folks, how many of you know receiving the Word isn't just something we do to get saved? How many of you know it's a continual process? Folks, are you receiving the Word of God here tonight? Yes. How many of you know we don't just, confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, receive that portion of the Word, which is the highest and best. It's the first and foremost, most important part of receiving the Word is for salvation. But how many of you know you've got to keep receiving as a lifelong believer? You need to receive from the Word of God every single day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus likened the Word of God as eating food. Boy, I don't know about you, but I eat, food more than once a day, right? And I'll tell you what, we certainly eat food way more than once a week. So how many of you know that the feeding that we get in church better not be our only feeding this week? Amen. Praise the Lord. The word is supposed to be received, not just for salvation, but received on a regular basis. This is my life right here. I need this. I need this more and more. I need this every day. But a lot of Christians, if we're not careful, we're all of a sudden starting to drift away from the Word of God. All of a sudden, we're not meditating in the Word. We're not reading the Word. We're not memorizing the Word. All of a sudden, we know less and less about the Word because life gets so busy and distracting. Folks, how many of you know we start drifting away from the Word? We start drifting away from life. We start drifting away from strength. And we start drifting towards what? Darkness. Boy, I sure got quiet in here in a hurry. If we're drifting away from the light, that means we're drifting towards what? Darkness. I've seen it. As a pastor, more and more believers, you know, there's a lot going on and we start drifting. All of a sudden we're not in the Word. Folks, it's not because we're given, okay, well, Pastor, how many chapters do I have to read every day? No. That's the wrong question. You know, well, Pastor, how long should I read my Bible? That's the wrong question. You know, the question is, how do I get in there and so I can receive what God has for me? I want to feed on this. I want to receive it. I want to know Him. Amen. This is life. Praise the Lord. Many Christians have gone cold on receiving the Word. Gone cold in meditation, memorization, reading, speaking God's Word, declaring God's Word, and praying God's Word. How many of you know we're not supposed to just read God's Word? We're supposed to pray His Word. We're supposed to speak His Word. Amen? Because we're supposed to receive it. And when we receive that Word, you know the Bible says it's supposed to return unto Him. It's supposed to return to Him. You know, the parable of the sower, if the seed of the Word gets into the good ground of our heart, it's supposed to produce what? A return. You know, or more harvest. Amen. Can you bring up Isaiah 55:11? Here's a scripture that just tells us point blank. We're supposed to receive the Word and return it. He says, so shall my word. Everyone say, my word. This is God speaking. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not what? Return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I've sent it. God expects if His word goes somewhere, it better produce a change. It better produce an effect. It better produce a result. Right. See, folks, when the word of God for salvation gets into your heart, it's going to produce a change. Right. I'm here to tell you, and again, we don't know the gray line. We're not trying to look into somebody's heart. But when someone receives salvation, there should be a change. There should be a change. It doesn't mean they become perfect overnight, but they should start to change their direction. You know what I mean? And start moving towards the right direction in their life. Amen. When God's word gets into the right ground, when God's word gets into the right place, it should start to prosper. It should start changing things. Making darkness into the light. You know, making the dry place flourish. Amen. Glory to God. The word does not return to God void and empty. And so we receive the word of God. How do we return the word of God? Well, let me give you some real simple ways you can return God's word. You return it in prayer. I quote scripture to my Heavenly Father all the time. Every day of my life, I am repeating scripture to Him. Father, you said. Lord, you said this. Lord, you said that. See, when that word comes down from Him, it then goes back and it's not void. It starts to prosper that thing for which it is sent. It starts to move those things. Folks, when you are praying, wouldn't it be awesome to remember this scripture? Lord, I'm bringing you back your word. Here's your word in return. And of course, returning the word of God means that you actually do the word. Okay, when you forgive somebody, that's returning the word. You know, when you tithe, that's returning the word. When you praise and worship, forgive. I mean, all these examples I use all the time, right? I mean, just, you know, obeying what God's word said. When you obey it, it returns to Him. And now that thing, you know, it starts to move for the purpose for which He sent it. Or you could say it this way. The thing that you obeyed, the word, starts to work. When you start to tithe, the plan goes into a motion for God to start providing for you. Amen. When you forgive somebody or you deal with heart issues or you let go of offense, amen, that word returns to the Lord and it starts to prosper for the purpose that He sent it for. Amen. God's word works every time. Notice the Bible says that it will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And if I go before God and I return a promise of His, I believe it's going to accomplish exactly what He said it was there for. You got to receive the word and you've got to return the word. Oh, my pastor, I don't know. I don't want to obey this. I don't want to, you know, forgive so-and-so. I don't want to serve. I don't want to tithe. I don't want to, you know, praise and worship. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do that as much as maybe some other Christians. Well, folks, why wouldn't we want to? Why wouldn't we want to? And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You're here in the snow advisory, right? So we know you're here to serve God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what I mean? Sometimes believers, they just don't seem to want to obey the Lord. They know they've got things in their life that aren't right, and they don't care. I don't get that. I don't get it. And I'm not saying that to judge anybody. I'm saying that, listen, God's got something better for you. Amen. Return it. Why? Look at verse 12. Go back over there to John 1:12. Praise the Lord. Nope, not this verse 12. Go back to John chapter 1. We're still over here. Chapter 1, go to verse 12. Actually, go back up to verse 11 so we pick up right where we were. Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. So these people decided not to receive the word. They remained in darkness, right? But look at this, verse 12. Here's for the ones that do receive the word. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. If you will be someone that says, "In my heart, Father, I just am going to receive Your word. Father, I'm going to make this my companion. I'm going to make this my joy. I'm not going to read the Bible to just say that I read it. I'm going to read it to spend time with You." See, being in the Bible is not about just what you've read. It's about fellowship with God. Amen. I talk to the Lord as I'm in His scripture. It is Him, after all. The Word is God. And as many as receive it, as many as make the Word their companion, as many as that will renew their mind with it, meditate on it, memorize it, speak it, pray it, declare it, to them He gave power. Amen. That makes me want to receive the Word. Receive the Word. You know, when you're receiving the word right here in church, we can rejoice over the word that's being taught. The Bible says we're supposed to receive the word with joy, with attention, with gladness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's number one here tonight. Receive the word. Remember, take it unto yourself. Make it precious to you. Make it like your companion. You know, seek, you know, to know Him through it. He is the word, and that light will make sure that the darkness will never be able to get a hold of you. You know, we could go to, the Bible never says that about just going to church. The Bible never says that just about singing praise and worship. The Bible doesn't say that about everything. But the Bible says it about the Word. Folks, that's why we've got to be disciples or students. Students of the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's move on to the second point and perhaps the final point here tonight. Yeah. Say, Pastor, are you fixing to close? No way. Praise the Lord. But Pastor, it's starting to snow out there. We'll get you going. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. And now let's talk about the second thing. How God is going to uphold you. Do you believe God's going to uphold you? How's He going to uphold you? Through His word. Amen. Through this life that's the light of our lives. Amen. Through knowing Him, I love taking scriptures. I love speaking them. I love repeating them. I like to memorize them. I love to say them, and I love to say them to God. Say God's word to Him. Praise the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. I keep wanting to go to chapter 11 because that's the faith chapter, but we may get there at some point. Not tonight, but in this series of messages. Go to Hebrews 1:1. Are you here tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. This light is the light of men. It belongs to me. It's on the inside of me. Hallelujah. what is on the inside of you. That's why the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He is the Word. The Word is the light of men. It can't be killed. It can't die. It can't be crushed. It can't be oppressed. Imagine if you start saying that. Father, your light is on the inside of me. I'm not going to be oppressed. I'm not going to be depressed. Not going to be suppressed. Here we go. God who at sundry times, don't you love the King James? Who knows what the word sundry means? Various? Is that what it means? Good, thank you. I didn't know. I know modern translations word it, you know, various, but I wasn't sure if that was the one. Sundry times. When I think of sundries, I think of like toiletries. Right? Isn't that sundries? Right. Well, anyhow, we're digressing. God who at various times and in different manners he spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. All right, but look at verse 2. It starts talking about us. But God, our Father, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom God the Father has appointed heir of all things, by whom Jesus also, by whom God the Father also, I'm reading this wrong, by whom Jesus also God made the worlds. The worlds, plural. Oh boy, now we're going to have some fun. All right? Through Jesus Christ, every bit of matter that exists in the universe was made through Christ. Aren't you glad? Well, that should really make us excited because we are the body of Christ. He lives on the inside of us. Glory to God. And then verse 3, it says, Jesus, who being the brightness of God's glory, Jesus is the express image of God's person, and Jesus upholding all things. Everyone say all things. Are you included in all things? Is your whole life included in all things? Is your health included in all things? Is your finances included in all things? Yes. Is your family included? Is your marriage included in all things? Is the health of your mind and your body included into all things? Yes. Is your joy, your peace, your strength? Yes. How is God going to uphold everything in your life? Through his word. He upholds all things by the word of his power. When Jesus had by himself purged our sins, no one else did that. He's the only one. He purged our sins, and then Jesus sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here we go. Let's talk about the second point here tonight, the upholding power of God's word. The upholding power of God's word. Here we go. Notice this. Go back up there to verse 2. Notice as it says, God has in these last days. Everyone say last days. These are the last days. I'll tell you what, if they were the last days when I believe Paul, who's the author of Hebrews, when he wrote this, how much more are we in the last days now? We're 2,000 years more into the last days. We are deep into the last days. God the Father has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And remember, Jesus is called what? The Word. Remember over there, where is that? Revelation. Corbin, can you help me? Try Revelation 19:13. Remember what it says about Jesus and how he was dressed? There it is. This is talking about Jesus at his return. It says Jesus was clothed, he will be when he returns, with a vesture dipped in blood. Wow. And his name is called what? The Word of God. Man, isn't that awesome? Here's how you fellowship with him. Here's how you learn about him. Here's what you know, what he likes and he desires and he wants for you. Here's how your mind will be renewed by just speaking this word and thinking about this word and taking time, yes, to read it. You know, when you get it, of course, into your heart and renew your mind with it. Hallelujah. His name is called the Word of God. Go back over to Hebrews 1:2. It says he's spoken to us by his Son, who he's appointed heir of all things, by whom God the Father also he made the worlds through Jesus Christ. Jesus made the worlds, plural. Are you ready to go down a rabbit hole here tonight real quick? Why does the scripture say worlds? Is there more than one? What is it talking about here? Is he talking about alien planets and alien civilizations? Nope. So you're like, come on, yes he is. God believes in aliens. Watch out. Okay, look at verse 2. Notice it says that the Word, Jesus is the Word, made the worlds. First of all, that word worlds, it means the heavens or what we call space. All right? The Word made the sun, the moon. The Word made the planets. The Word made the galaxies. Do you know that astronomers, they predict and they can now estimate that our galaxy alone has somewhere between 100 billion to 400 billion stars. And so if there's 100 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, then they can predict, well, an average star usually has somewhere between 1 and 8 to 10 planets with it. So now we estimate through our genius scientists and all this stuff that there's somewhere around 500 billion planets right here in our own galaxy alone. That's in one galaxy. Then scientists have been able to look deep across the universe, and they are now predicting that there is somewhere around 1 to 2 trillion galaxies, not stars, galaxies, that if they all were the same size as our galaxy, they'd have somewhere around 400 billion stars in each of those. All right? There, we're looking across our universe. We're seeing all this stuff. And now the scripture says, Jesus Christ, the Word, made it all. Glory to God. I believe that. I believe every little gizmo that they put up there in orbit that looks deep into our galaxy and our universe, everything they see, my God, my Lord, and my Savior made every bit of it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you think the God who made all of that is worried about your house payment? Meaning, do you think he's able to meet every need? Do you think he's able to heal your body? Glory to God. He made the worlds. But that word worlds is a very deep word in the Greek. It doesn't just mean space. But let's talk about space for a minute. Want to talk about space for a minute? Oh boy, I don't know. Should we go down this rabbit hole? All right. First of all, the word worlds there, talking about planets, you know, and galaxies and stars and all that, that means that God created Jesus the Lord made all matter in this universe. He made all matter. And our scientists now with these big telescopes are realizing there's a whole lot of matter out there, but then we're realizing there's a whole lot of matter that we can't see or account for. And they call it what? Dark matter, meaning they don't know where this energy is coming from. And so since they can't explain it, they just call it dark matter. Well, I'm here to tell you what they're really seeing is God's power keeping everything in place. That's what they're really looking for. All right, so God made all the matter. But God didn't just make matter. God made the place where the matter exists. God created space, the final frontier, right? These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Anyway, I could recite the whole thing. I'm a Star Trek nerd, I have to confess, all right? But God, do you understand that space is a thing? You know, God created space. Meaning, see, the Big Bang Theory, you know, scientists, they think, well, what there was before there was anything, there was this big open space called the universe, and two atoms were bouncing around the universe, and over eons of time, those two little atoms collided and created a nuclear reaction, which we call the Big Bang, and that led to the existence of the universe. Whenever I hear that, I say, back up. Where'd the space come from? because space was something. All right, folks, you understand, God created matter, but then he created space, right? I mean, space is another, not necessarily in that order, but space is a thing that has been created. And then God created the third thing that is very interesting that didn't exist before he created it, and that's time. Do you understand God created matter to move through space and time? Time is a creation. God is eternal. He lived in no time. Remember that. God is eternal. God had no time. Time was created when he made the universe. Do you feel like smoke's about ready to come out of your ears yet? This God who's made trillions of galaxies for us to look at, and so now you're saying, well, Pastor, of course now, there's got to be aliens, right? Except there's not. Do you know why there's not? You say, what, Pastor? Okay, first of all, the scripture tells us there's not, but anyway. You say, Pastor, really, where does it say that? A lot of places. It says it in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was singled out. The earth is unique. The Bible says that all of creation, looked to see the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God when Jesus shall appear. Everything that was ever created, the Bible says, looks to see what you and I have through redemption. The Bible says around the throne of God, there will be 24 seats filled with 24 elders. And those elders say that they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other being, you know, that there is no other being saved or redeemed through the blood of Christ that exists in heaven around the throne of God. The Bible says that you and I were created in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. No other being or creation will ever, ever have that stance with God. Humanity is unique. Humanity is alone. And are you ready for some other nerding out science stuff here? There is something that scientists just recently discovered, and it's throwing everything off. Our scientists have discovered now that the Milky Way galaxy that you and I live in now is now residing right in the middle of something called the KBC void. The KBC void, those are just the initials of the people that discovered it. And they realize now that the Milky Way galaxy is living in this giant, almost perfectly round section of space, almost by itself, right in the middle, and this KBC void is 2 billion light years across, and we seem to be in the middle of it, and we're all alone. And now that KBC void and the discovery of the KBC void that has happened in just the last few years has caused all of science to have to go back to square one when it comes to understanding our universe. They don't know how it was formed. All the laws they thought they knew are now completely out the window because of this void they discovered. Why is the Milky Way at the center of it? Why does it exist in this big 2 billion light year, expanse that's just empty? How is it all in place? Everything they thought, Einstein gave us the theory of relativity. And that told us that the speed of light always travels at the same speed. 186,000 miles per second. Except we learned not that long ago, the speed of light isn't constant everywhere. It changes. All the laws keep, confounding the smartest minds on this earth. You say, Pastor, get to your point already. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. And just when we think we understand it from a natural standpoint, we can't understand it from a natural standpoint. We can only grab hold of it through faith and know that the same word that can hold all matter, time and space in perfect order is that same word that can dwell in our lives. What will God's word do in our life if we spend more time with it? The Bible says his word opens up space. Doesn't that mean his word would open up opportunities in your life? His word creates matter. Well, guess what? You're living in a body that's made of matter. There's one who designed it, who not only wants to heal it, he will heal it. He desires it. Glory to God. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Look at verse 3. He made the worlds. He made all matter, time and space. This God who is so amazing lives on the inside of you and I. I don't need a telescope. They're out there looking for aliens. I'm here to tell you, they should be looking for a heavenly Father. What if they, you know, there's something. All right, I'm not quite done nerding out. One more nerd school thing here tonight. You ready? Have you ever heard of anything called the Fermi, F-E-R-M-I, the Fermi paradox? You ever heard of the Fermi paradox? The Fermi paradox simply is this. Mathematics proves that even in our own galaxy, with billions of star systems that are in our own galaxy, you know, mathematics would predict that our galaxy should be filled with other civilizations. But yet, we have no evidence. Do you know that over these past one or two decades, we built in this nation some powerful radio telescopes that can take radio signals and beam them from one end of our galaxy to the next? Not only can we beam radio signals, we can receive radio signals. Radio signals are one of the most generic forms of energy produced by civilization, okay? So if there was a civilization at least as advanced as we are, let alone traveling interstellar space on UFOs and all this stuff, if there was, we would have heard it by now. And they don't publish this, but if you want to go read articles about it, they have realized our galaxy is empty of any civilization that is as advanced as we are. You know why? Because we are unique in God's eyes. All right. God made the worlds to show his people just how strong his word is. And if his word can hold space, time, and matter in place, I have an easy time receiving and believing that word. I might seem like a nerd here tonight. That's all right. I might seem obsessed with God's word. That's all right. But notice this. Go down to verse 3. We're going to end right here. Praise the Lord. Notice it says this. He upholds all things by the word. Everyone say word. Now it says of his power. The term word, are you ready? It's a very interesting word. It literally means this, a living voice or spoken word. When it says that God upholds all things by the word of his power, he upholds all things by the words he speaks. He upholds all things with his living voice. That's what that term means. It's awesome. God has a living voice. His voice, his word, remember, is what? It's alive. Let me ask you this question. God has a living voice. Do you think he gave you one? He did. He gave you a living voice of faith. Here is how the word is going to uphold you in your life. Amen. Because you talk it. Because you speak it. Because you declare it. Because you say it. Because you pray it. Amen. How does God uphold the health in your body? How about with Exodus 23, 25? You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and he will take all sickness from your midst. How about Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3? Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. That is the living word of God that will uphold health in your body. But what do we've got to do? We've got to receive it, and we've got to return it. So, Pastor, well, I don't know. I don't remember those verses. I don't have any verses. I don't know any verses about healing. I don't know any verses about finances. We don't. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Right? Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, hear what said the Lord of hosts. We've said it enough. See if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will burst out with new wine. Glory to God. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't have any verses on those things. Then we don't have the light on those things. God's word cannot uphold what we don't say by faith. Do you understand? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I don't have any scriptures about marriage. How about Proverbs 18:22? He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. Men, you should absolutely be amening right now. Oh, where are those scriptures over there in Proverbs chapter 5? Oh boy, those get a little racy. Those verses get a little racy. I don't know. I don't know if I can say those. I'll start blushing. What does it say over there? Yeah, Proverbs, what is it? 5:18. Try 5:18. Let your fountain be blessed. By the way, that's a reference to your wife. Men, the scripture says that you obtain favor from God from your wife. She's called your fountain of blessing. And the Bible says, rejoice with the wife of your youth. That's interesting. I know a lot of men that if they would follow the spiritual example of their wife and be as excited for God as she is, they would absolutely be blessed in life. Woo, boy. Come on, ladies, help me out. Verse 19. Do we dare read verse 19? Bring up verse 19. Bro, Reverend Chris says, yes, pretty please. Read Proverbs 5:19. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and be ravished always with her love. What a good, yeah. Absolutely. Say, Pastor, that's a little, Pastor, there's younger kids here. Well, what would you do rather than hear it from TikTok? Right? Might as well learn it from the Bible. For married, notice this is for a husband and a wife. Nothing else. Yeah, this is God's wedding gift to married couples. But absolutely. Say, well, Pastor, our love life and our marriage doesn't look like that. Well, I guess you got something to believe for then. I guess you got something to start confessing and declaring, because God's going to uphold your romantic life in your marriage through his word. He's gonna, just like he's going to withhold your health in your body through his word. He's going to help your finances through his word. He's going to help your kids. What is that scripture? Isaiah 54:13. Where is it? What does that say? What does that say? And all your children shall be taught of the Lord. Right? Bring that up for us. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's a great word to uphold the lives of your kids. You should be saying that every day, praying that every day. Say, well, I just know it's in the Bible somewhere. Not good enough. Not good enough. Hey, how about Psalm 112? Can you bring up Psalm 112? That's a good a scripture about your kids. Here's verses I say over my boys every day of their life. It's actually verse 3, but go right from verse 1. Go to Psalm 112, verse 1, just so you can see the context of it. I believe this is right. Did I get the right psalm? I believe I did. Can you bring it up? Psalm 112. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Doing great back there. The system is, there it is. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears or reverences or worships the Lord, and a person that delights greatly in the word of God. Rejoice when you hear the word. Why do so many Christians, you know, they hear God's word with such pouts? You know, Eeyore mentality. Don't be that way. Look at verse 2. It says this. His seed, that means your children, shall be what? Mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. What if you said that over your kids every day? God will uphold his power in the life of your child. Verse 3, we might as well add it on for good measure, because this is pretty good, right? What else is, what does God do? Wealth and riches shall be in your child's house. which you're going to want when you're older, by the way. Because they're going to take care of you with that wealth. Amen. That's right. And his righteousness of your child endures forever. What makes a parent happier than their child serving God? Nothing. There's not an amount of money. There's nothing you could give me that would ever, ever even scratch the surface of my desire for my boys to live godly. And they are. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying there's nothing that a parent who loves God wants more than anything. There you go. There's what you say. That's what you declare. That's how God's going to uphold those things with the word of his power. That word that you're confessing over your child is the same word that is holding every galaxy and planet in place. That word that was so amazing, it created time. How do you make time? How do you make that? He made you with matter. You don't move just through space. You move through time. Our planet isn't just passing through space right now. It's passing through time. Do you realize that they've proven, do you know with time is influenced by gravity? Do you know that? Gravity can be so strong, not only will it pull and bend light, gravity can be so strong that it can make light heavy, but also it can also make time move slower. Do you know gravity does that? More gravity, the slower time goes. Literally, they have proven this. I'll tell you what. How are we ever going to understand all that? We don't need to. I don't need to explain it. God doesn't need an explanation. He needs someone to believe it and to say it and to know that his word's going to work. Did you get something out of this here tonight? The word. He upholds all things with the word of his power. That makes me hungry to start studying. What other things can I speak, in faith and declare and watch God do? God is desperate for someone to start saying something. That's why he says death and life. Oh boy, I just so much want to take you. Homework, okay? Homework. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Can you bring up verse 10 real quick? Say, Pastor, I knew you weren't going to be able to resist. These scriptures just start playing on the inside. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, meaning us. My brethren, these things should not be so. He's like, and he goes on to say, should a vine, should a fountain produce fresh water and poisonous water at the same time? See, this is God saying, I wish. No, go back up to verse 10. He says, I wish my people would start to get a hold of speaking blessing. And I'm sure we do. But also, anyone else here besides me confess it? Sometimes you catch yourself doubting, unbelief, mad, saying something, calling somebody a jerk. You ever done that? Oh gosh, you hear how quiet it got in here? I guess. You ever been driving and someone cuts you off? You're like, oh, what's that jerk doing? Anytime I've ever done that, the Lord's like, why are you saying that? Right? What is that? Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost takes great interest in what we say. Do you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. You uphold all things by the word of your power. Lord Jesus, you came to your own, and your own received you not, and they remained in darkness. But Father, we receive your word, and we don't remain in darkness. That light of the word is the light of men. Father, we thank you. We can go to this word. We can fellowship with you. We can learn to say and to speak, declare, meditate on these things that are so powerful and so amazing. Lord, we know that we've got a lot of smart people on this planet trying to figure out how the universe is moving, how the universe works. And just when they think they have a good idea, they find something that they cannot explain. And the reason why is because your word is upholding all things. They don't know, naturally speaking, how it all works or how it could possibly fit together. But Father, your word makes it happen. And that same word lives on the inside of us. That same word, we can dig into the promises of God and start speaking these things. Lord, it just makes your word exciting. And Lord, I feel bad for people that think the Bible is just some dusty religious book. It's power. It's strength. It's light. Nothing can kill your word. Nothing can injure it. Nothing can depress it. Nothing can oppress it. Nothing can suppress it. Thank you, Lord God. And that's the word that we can have living on the inside of us. We praise your holy name. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, if you're here tonight and you're a born-again Christian and you're not ashamed to admit it, could you lift your hand, please? If you're a born-again believer, yep. That's everybody. Praise the Lord. Father God, we're just so glad to know your word, Father. We're encouraged. We don't have to be defeated. If there's a need in our life, we'll just go and get into where the power is. We'll get a promise on that thing. We can speak life over these situations. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We worship you. Let's all go ahead and stand to our feet as we get ready to just be dismissed. Let's just praise him. Can we lift our hands and our voices and just worship God for a moment? Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. You are so good. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you. We are made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. Father, greater is your word that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you and praise you and worship you. You are so faithful and good. Hallelujah. You know, I just hear these words in my spirit, you know, and the Lord wants me to say this to you. Write it down. That's just, all of a sudden, I mean, honestly, my mind doesn't even understand it completely of why the Lord would just say that. I mean, the Holy Ghost just spoke so emphatically to me. He said, write it down. Take and write down the promise that you're standing on over a situation. Write it down. Bring it before the Lord. Take that vision and write it down. Make it straight. Go ahead. Go before God and plead your case. Believe upon that word. Speak and pray upon that word. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. For God's word will not return unto him void, and it will prosper for the thing wherein he has sent it. Thank you, Lord God. Write it down. Write it down. You say, well, Pastor, I never do that. The Lord just said, write it down. Get specific. Write down where you need to see the change in your life. Write down that thing that you need to get beyond and past. Write it down. Then join Scripture to that. Claim that promise. Speak that word to God. Let it return to Him. And you'll prosper in that situation. It won't be overnight, but it will come to pass. Father, we just praise you, we worship you, we glorify you, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Before we dismiss, everybody, if that struck you in your heart, do exactly what that instruction was. Write it down, find out exactly what it is, get specific with it, and also, I'm going to give you some homework, because we're going to pick up next week, the Lord willing, right? James chapter 3, first 10 verses. Amen? Everybody got that? All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.